I'm Allie Lightfoot, and you're tuned into Local Motion on KVNF. This month, delegates from the North Fork Valley, including Ty Gillespie of Azura Sellers, Jim Ramey of the environmental organization Citizens for a Healthy Community, Pete Kolbenschlag of Mountain West Strategies, Alexis Halbert of the Paonia Chamber, and Landon Dean, a local rancher, went to Washington, D.C. They were there to meet with officials about oil and gas development in the North Fork Valley. I'm here today with several members of the group, including Jim Ramey, Alexis Halbert, and Ty Gillespie. Jim, why don't you start off by telling us why you went to D.C. and who you met with there?
Sure. So we have sponsored a number of these trips now. Citizens for a Healthy Community has sent local residents back to Washington to meet with senior officials at the Bureau of Land Management, BLM, with our elected officials and their staff members and other agencies to express our concerns about oil and gas leasing and drilling in the North Fork Valley. And so this most recent trip, we had kind of a different message than trips in the past, where we've been under the gun of these proposed lease sales from BLM. So since BLM has twice deferred the lease sales, we wanted to make sure that they received the thank you message, that we appreciate they've done that. And then also to be able to brief them on our community's counter proposal to those lease sales, which is the North Fork Alternative Plan. And so this trip we went back, we met with senior staff at the BLM, we met with our elected official, the congressional delegation, Senator Udall, Senator Bennett, and Representative Tipton staff members, and also the White House Council on Environmental Quality to give them that update in the briefing and to answer their questions.
You said in a statement that you felt that they were productive. And what does that mean to you? What is a productive meeting?
So to be able to go and sit with folks in their offices and bridge the disconnect of the 2,500 miles between here and D.C. to actually get some time to sit and chat with them and say, here's where we are, here's what we've accomplished. Thank you for everything you've done in the case of BLM for not leasing our public lands in the North Fork Valley for oil and gas development. And then in the case of our senators, thank you for all the attention that you've provided. But to be able to go and have that update and talk about what's coming up next, what we are continuing to do, the case we're continuing to make, and to see the positive reception that everybody had in the meetings that we attended. People were really impressed with the work that we've done as a community and what we have built from the ground up in the North Fork Alternative Plan.
How hard is it to get these meetings?
The first time, it was more work. You had to find the right person, who that person's scheduler is, how to get them on the phone or their email. But now, since we've been back there, there have been four trips now over the last two and a half years, and we're starting to develop relationships with these folks, and they know us. And when we go into the meet and greet with Senator Udall, he says, hey, you guys didn't bring any wine or hard cider. What's up with that? So it's gotten easier because they remember us, they know the issue, and it's not too difficult anymore, thankfully.
Mm-hmm. So you went there in part to advocate for the North Fork Alternative Plan, which would prioritize protections for the economy and the environment, essentially, right? That's what this plan aims to do.
Right. So the North Fork Alternative Plan is based on bottom-up resource protection for all of the resources on our public lands and how we feel those should be protected from risks and threats that oil and gas development would provide. And so it's basically a set of recommendations to protect those individual resources that we provided to BLM.
And Ty, you went to advocate for our wine industry to some extent.
I think it was even more than the wine industry. We've got a burgeoning farm-to-table environment going here. And we have people coming from all over the world to the winery. We had some people from Russia, Germany, France last year, as well as all the states. And, you know, that industry right now is providing $1.5 million to $2 million direct income from sales, plus all the peripheral benefits, the B&B and so forth. So it's not only the wineries, but it's the whole thing that's happening here is so critical. And I think it's really important to be do some responsible planning here. And so that's why I went.
It seems like it would be hard in some ways to take an industry like the wine industry, and you're saying it's bigger than that. It's our entire tourism industry that we have going on here, and put that up against oil and gas, which is a huge industry with, you know, I'm sure very powerful lobbyists, and probably they can say, oh, you pull in a million from tourism, we could pull in, you know, way more than that with oil and gas development in this area.
There's another side to that story. First of all, we're talking about an industry, which is agrotourism, which has been here for a long time. Oil and gas will be here typically for a short time, and then it's gone. So there's a real advantage to keeping what we have, not throwing that out to replace it with something that may or may not benefit us. We're also talking about protection of our resources for a relatively small portion of the land available to exploit. And it's less than one-tenth of the whole available land in the Uncompahgre management area, and even a smaller, a minute point part of the state available land. So there's a lot to be said for maintaining what we have, and it's not a big loss to anybody. And we're also not saying you can't exploit the minerals here. So, yeah, so I think you just need to do it in a responsible way.
Right. Do you think that people are misinformed about fracking?
I would say a number of folks are incredibly well informed about the risks and dangers of fracking, especially in our community here, since we've had kind of come up to be under the gun by this BLM proposed and now deferred lease sale. But this raises a big point. The oil and gas industry has practically limitless amounts of money to buy advertising and to create these organizations that say, oh, you know, fracking is so safe. Visit our website and ask your questions. And then they don't actually answer your questions. But I think, you know, part of what Citizens for a Healthy Community has done over the last few years since we were formed in 2009 is we try to have educational events. We try to bring speakers into town who've experienced this. The more time I spend here, the more folks from Garfield County I meet who have moved away from the drilling boom and bust areas to find a healthy community with a more stable, sustainable economy. So I think folks are really more informed than the 30-second sound bites from the oil and gas industry would try to portray.
Mm. Alexis, I wanted to ask you a question about the community in the North Fork. And you're from the Chamber of Commerce of Peonia. A part of what happened to this community when the oil and gas leases came up for us is that it felt like the community really came together. These meetings about it, there'd be 500 or 600 people there, which is a huge percentage of our community. Where do you think it is now with everything? Do you think our community just, when the leases were deferred, we just went back to being divided? Or do you think that this is an issue that will continue to not only bring the community together, but that we have to keep working on as a community?
From what I've seen, CHC is doing a wonderful job getting out to the community directly, you know, holding house parties, asking people to come and talk and give their opinion about the situation. And also the 3,000 comments that went into the alternative plan to let the BLM know where the waterways are, where important valuable land assets are, where wildlife corridors are. The work that they did on this plan is really comprehensive. And it really, they got so many people involved talking about what those resources are in individual people's lands. For the Chamber, I think we see it ultimately as a long-term question about our economy. And of course, we're always looking to find ways to support jobs that are existing and to help people have opportunities to create new jobs here. And what we heard a lot was the compatibility of just such an industrial type of extraction right directly within the boundaries of the valley floor. And a worry from folks that could interrupt the steady growth that we have and the historical economy we have, both with our coal mines and the safety in the mines and drilling, as well as agriculture and ranching. And there are some really positive trends that are happening in terms of value-added agriculture with our designation as a creative arts district through the state and some state resources that are coming to us through that designation. And so I think overall, we all have a stake in our small town economy. And I hope that in general, these conversations can help us to think more about how we do need to be proactive as a small rural community, and what kind of jobs we want to create and what kind of economy we want to have in the future. And through the chamber, we're always looking for volunteers. Again, we're working to really figure out how to be more proactive in our local economy to strengthen those areas of our economy that represent our agricultural heritage.
We are in kind of this lull, right, where BLM has deferred the leases. They are not removed off the table, so we are not out of this situation yet. But there will be lots of opportunities for folks to get involved and get engaged and continue to help support this effort. And if anyone wants more info, visit our website, stop by our office, give me a ring. Happy to chat with anyone.
Yeah, I might add that I think that I get tired of writing letters every time I'm requested to do it, but I think it really has an impact, and I urge everybody to carry on. You know, sit down and take a couple of minutes to write your congressman, and it really matters.
Who have you met that's also working on this issue, like when you travel to D.C. or just through your work?
I mean, there's no shortage of folks working on this issue in other communities and then other organizations. But by way of example for how successful our community here has been in the North Fork, we have been looked to by other folks who have said, wow, you guys have done so much and you've achieved so much. How can we be successful like that? And literally just a few weeks ago, I got a call from a gentleman in New Mexico who said, Jim, I think you guys are, 2-3 years ahead of where we would like to be. And I would love to come visit with you and hear about your experience and tell you about our community and what we're concerned about oil and gas on public lands. And so, yeah, you meet a diverse variety of folks, and it's really interesting to see the good work that everyone's doing out there.
Are there places where there's been absolutely no resistance to oil and gas coming in and setting up shop where maybe their economy is in such poor shape that it literally is like the only thing that could save their local economy?
I don't know that I've ever heard of that, even in places that may be viewed as more friendly and welcoming to the industry. You still have folks who are concerned about their well water or their surface water or their agricultural operation. Just this weekend, I met a couple down in Montrose who used to live over in Garfield County and ranch up there, and they were able to negotiate with the drilling companies when they moved in. They didn't own all of their mineral rights. They had a split estate situation with public minerals underneath it, and eventually they just had to say goodbye to their dream retirement ranch and move down to Montrose County from Garfield County. And I don't know them incredibly well. I don't think that they were environmentalists by any means of the word, but when the industry came in, they were still concerned and tried to negotiate the best they could and eventually had to leave to try to find a healthy community and a quiet place where 50 people weren't coming onto the property every day to service wells and all the other infrastructure that comes along with it.
I read an article recently, Fort Lupton has benefited greatly by this. They had no economy to speak of, and all of a sudden they've got a wonderful boom. We'll wait to see how it all plays out, but there are places that are very welcoming to the industry.
Do you think that I guess there has to be some place for us to have this industry, or do you actually think that maybe fracking is not ever going to be a way to extract this?
Well, there are places now where oil and gas development is happening and it will continue to happen. But I think part of responsible development of oil and gas means recognizing there are some places where it should not happen, where a new gas field should not go in, and where other parts of a local economy need to take precedent and they need to be protected. And so that's really what we're going for in our North Fork Alternative Plan and the efforts that we continue to undertake to protect the North Fork and other sensitive areas. There's a a proposal that you guys mentioned on KVNF the other week for 50 new wells in the Pilot Knob roadless area. That would include new road building in sensitive wildlife habitat. And there are a number of excellent hunters camps up there, spectacular recreation opportunities. That's not going to be the same if we put 50 new gas wells up there. Also proposed close to some of the creeks that headwaters that flow down into the North Fork. So, you know, separate from the North Fork public lands, which is, you know, top priority for Citizens for a Healthy Community and other folks like Alexis and Ty, we're concerned about other areas as well and making sure that when development does happen, it is happening in the most responsible, safe way possible.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to add something?
Yeah. On a personal note, a piece that's been exciting for me to participate in going to Washington with the group was I actually studied multiple use land management in college in forestry at University of Michigan. And it was always a very interesting dynamic to see how it is you're managing your lands and what priority you give to different industries or for different outputs from the resources. And it really has to be a balance. And I think that overall the conversation that we're seeing around the country is, of course, we need energy. You know, we need energy development. But people want it to be done safely and they want it to be done appropriately and in the right places. So this idea that our public lands are just sort of this blanket place where we can do any kind of heavy industry that we want, I think the government is starting to get a little bit of pushback and saying, you know, this land has a historical use value. People are using it for different means. There's a different economy that's growing here. And so it's a little bit, it's a learning curve. It's a big learning curve. But thanks to efforts of small communities, we're able to really show what the real value of land is and of our public resources. And so I feel very encouraged by how thoughtful Citizens for a Healthy Community have been in terms of approaching the issue from a land management standpoint.
So the whole not in my backyard thing has been really interesting out here because I realize I was in a city most of my life and then came out here. And I feel like the basically rural areas are the city's big backyard. So actually, you know, considering that it is literally my backyard where these things have been proposed, why not say not in my backyard? I guess my question is, how do you guys view that whole not in my backyard idea?
So I like Alexis mentioned the 3,000 comments that went in when the lease sale was first proposed by BLM. And a lot of those folks were people who live right next to BLM. And so BLM is literally their backyard. But they didn't say, I don't want you to lease this because it's in my backyard. They said, I don't want you to lease this because it contains my irrigation ditch water, or it's really important wildlife habitat, and I can see the herds of elk out my backyard on the BLM wintering each year. And they had a whole list of reasons and important resources that occur on those BLM lands. And so it wasn't just not in my backyard, it was not here because of A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and so on. But I think the other part of it, too, is that it gets at smart land use planning. We need to take a holistic approach and a very thoughtful approach for what are appropriate uses on these lands. And it's been really interesting to see how our North Fork Alternative Plan effort is fitting into the broader national policy changes that BLM has undertaken. For instance, including more public comment on the front end of these proposed developments as to eliminate resource conflicts and litigation on the back end. And so that's a really welcome shift in tone on the national level. And it's been nice to see that starting to play out on the ground here.
Mm-hmm. What if you just didn't want oil and gas development in your backyard because it would totally bring down your property value? And it's
from our winery standpoint, right. The BLM land is 45 feet from our well and about 53 feet above our irrigation water. So we have some pretty specific reasons why mm-hmm. we're
And when you're managing for multiple things, you know, obviously something like water is a priority, but you do take into account things like viewshed. I mean, the North Fork Valley is amazingly unique in its the open expanse of the views. That's why people come here. When I first moved here, I didn't understand the chamber's motto, which was where life happens naturally. And living here, I do understand that there's an integrity that it exists here in the land and the landscape and the viewshed that's really unique, particularly with the pace of growth happening all over the country, all over the world. So those things like visual resources are also important to people.
Mm-hmm. I'd add just one thing on the property values front. That has to be so important to everybody who owns property or owns a home. You see it not only when a drilling company moves in or after they've already drilled wells, but the perceived threat that they could be moving in, like with this proposed and now deferred BLM lease sale, had a slowdown impact on the local real estate market. And so it runs the full gamut. There's a lot of research that's been done on property values and how they can be impacted just by the perceived threat that water wells can become contaminated after drilling or fracking occurs. I think the number was that could reduce the value by 27%. That's huge. That is huge for folks on an individual level. And so the property values really can't be understated.
Particularly with the values we're seeing right now of real estate in the North Fork Valley, we're still on the low end of the recovery. So any additional impact to real estate values is having already a huge impact for people.
What's sort of the biggest, hurdle maybe you've had to overcome with misperception of what, you're all about, I guess, Jim?
I honestly, the biggest thing that I've ever heard was driving a car. You drive a car, we need to get those resources somewhere. But my response to that has been, that doesn't mean we need to do it in an irresponsible fashion. We don't need to do it like that. We can do it in a responsible way. But honestly, haven't had much pushback. And I think part of that's because we have such widespread community support. The North Fork Alternative Plan was built through a stakeholder process representing the wineries, agriculture, ranching, small business, realty, over a year to try to get input from all of those diverse stakeholders while we put it together. And I think as a result of that, folks like Alexis and the Chamber have signed letters to say, we support this effort, and we haven't had a lot of opposition to it. We've had a lot of tremendous broad community support.
Do you guys want to add anything to that?
I think we travel in the same circles. I don't know. I don't have any friends that I can think of that have an opposing view. So responsible development is really important.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is not to politicize it too much. I mean, it's just like any kind of use of land. We know it could be, I don't know, like we want to put a huge factory in this particular area by the water. It's all about measuring what's appropriate and I think what's not appropriate. And again, this plan is really talking about the valley floor, so it's a very, very defined area that we're talking about. Something we have heard about is jobs, this could bring some jobs into town. Would you be stopping those jobs? And we definitely do know there would be some jobs that would be related, particularly for industries who are already established, who'd be supporting the oil and gas. But I think the jobs that come in, we're not sure how long those jobs would last for and whether or not even those people would be locals. They would most likely be moving with the industry coming down here. And then it's weighing the loss of potential jobs and the loss of major established industries. So it can be a complicated issue, but we're really looking at, for the chamber, looking at the momentum we have in terms of the agriculture and ranching that do already exist and trying to make sure that we can strengthen those jobs as a priority.
Yeah, sometimes I think people who've been here a long time too don't, including myself, and I'm absolutely a newcomer. I've only been here 7 years, but you stop seeing clearly what this valley what stands out about it if you're here every day. And to somebody, I mean, I still see people at this time of year that come here maybe from the Front Range that look like they are starstruck. Like you see them walking down the street and they're just like, it's the most beautiful place they've ever seen, you know? I don't know.
That's such a great point, because actually one of the things we did in almost all of our meetings is we said, hey, come and visit. Come and visit the North Fork whenever you can get out of D.C., because there's really no other way other than spending some time here and like really spending a couple days and visiting with folks and going and have a glass of wine up at Azura, that you get the sense of the community and the community's relationship to public lands. So we've been lucky that we've had staff here from both Senate offices to visit a couple times. Last summer, Senator Bennett came to visit with his family and spent a little time here. And we would welcome anyone. We invited the BLM senior staff out to come and visit and to understand, you know, and meet with folks why the public lands matter so much to us here in the North Fork. Mm.
And also how, you know, there are very few sort of rural communities that are still going strong, you know, and coming out of the Heart and Soul Project for the North Fork Valley, you know, that project was initiated because the trend is that rural communities are disappearing. So when you have a community like the North Fork Valley that is still strong, we want to maintain that strength. We want this community to continue. And, you know, we were able to talk a little bit about some of the values that we heard out of the project and hand out some of the photographs and the statements that people shared as part of the project. And everyone who we met with in D.C. was just loved the photographs. They loved seeing the quotes. And they really loved knowing that there are still small rural communities in America who really value their land resources. They value their small town feel and sense of community. They value what it means to live together in a small rural place. And so I think what we have here in the valley is really unique, and it is worth protecting.
I've been speaking with Alexis Halbert of the Paonia Chamber of Commerce, Jim Ramey from Citizens for a Healthy Community, and Ty Gillespie from Azura Cellars, which is a winery and gallery in Paonia. They're all members of a small delegation of folks who just returned from Washington, D.C., where they were meeting with senators and BLM representatives about oil and gas development in the North Fork Valley. I'm Allie Lightfoot. Thank you for joining us on Local Motion. Stay tuned for The Treatment coming up next.